Hi, this is Warren from Taming Sorry. You are listening to Music's Journey Podcast with my friend Kim Sear. Yeah, baby, that's gold. Standing outside in the pouring rain. The pouring rain. The pouring rain. No shelter, no answer. We're living out disaster. I'm calling, you answer.
Just heard a snippet of the new single No Shelter by Canadian rock band Taming Sorry. Canadian rock band Taming Sorry has done it again with their hard-hitting anthem of compassion and connectiveness. This ripping track reminds us to cherish the people in our lives, especially during an era filled with social drama. Things will never be the same, but we still need that crucial support to get through life and to be happy. The new song is about being vulnerable in a hyper-exposed world where there are fewer places to hide in a supercharged new single, No Shelter. I can't get enough of their sound. Here to talk about their new single is frontman Warren Meredith from the Canadian rock band Taming Sorry. Mr. Warren Meredith is in the house.
Hey, how are you, Kim?
Good. How about you?
I'm all right. Doing good.
Good. You guys are making some major noise. God love you. I love your voice, man.
Oh, thanks so much. We're having fun. We're having fun this summer, no doubt.
Well, it wouldn't be the same if you weren't having fun.
Yeah, it's been great. Well, comparatively to, you know, restrictions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like it's just great.
Yeah. I guess it makes a big difference now to be able to open up live now and being able to play like a full audience like you used to, right?
Yeah. And people are coming back and people are like, they're opening their arms up to each other. Like it's nice just to see people embrace and people aren't tiptoeing around and stuff like that, you know?
I know some people are still a little bit concerned in the big festivals and stuff like that, but it's not the same. You know, we're starting to feel like it's back to the way it used to be at the festival. So it's nice to see.
Yeah. Oh, it's still like growing, coming back. Like I know, talking to some festivals, they told me, you know, like this year's a coming back year. We're not expecting the full crowd, but it's a building block back to what we had. And it definitely felt that way for sure. People were happy to have it again, you know?
Well, I'm telling you, everybody is so thrilled, especially me. You know how much of a fan I am of you guys, and especially, you know, the type of writing you guys are putting out in the new music and your voice. Gosh, I can never, ever get enough of that. It reminds me of the reasons why I love rock so much and why I was a rock girl to begin with. Your voice just shreds every single time.
Oh, thank you. That means so much to me. I mean, it's amazing to hear that. It's a great time, and I'm happy that the band supports the voice and supports it. Sometimes, you know, we don't know how hard to push on it and how far to pull back. It's kind of always the game.
Mm-hmm.
What are we gonna do with it this time? But I think we've done a good job over the last couple of years stretching it out and pushing it and seeing what it can do. And Crazy and No Shelter now, I think both have good power impact uses of it, you know, rather than pushing all the way like perhaps I did with Loving Way.
Mm-hmm.
I think the dynamics are improving.
And well, you can really feel the different areas in your voice when you're going into the lower notes and stuff like that. You're giving that variety now, which is really showcasing what you can do in the vocals instead of just being all, you know, full power.
Yeah.
I really, really enjoyed the last three singles you've put out.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Really cool. It is always great to have you on the show. As I said, you guys have been slaying it out there. You guys have been playing some great shows in the last little bit. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so we just played in Kingston, and that's always a great time.
Oh, yeah.
With our friend Chris Gaines from Amherst Island Radio. and they're a community-run station, and for years they've been really good to us. And Chris Gaines there put together a show, and we had a great time. It was some blues bands, and it was a lot of fun.
Ooh.
And then, yeah. And then last weekend, we were in North Bay, Sudbury, and St. Joseph's Island, which is over by Sault Ste. Marie.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got those three nights of gigs, and it was really fantastic.
Have you guys ever played there?
Out there?
Have you ever played there?
No, that was our first time on all three places, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, they love to rock out there.
Yes, they do. Very much so.
They would have welcomed you guys with open arms out there for sure.
Yeah. It was really nice. We had our own trailer on St. Joe's Island, so we felt very fancy, you know, very cool, living the dream. And we got to watch Crown Lands. Well, I watched them from the side of the stage. Some of the guys watched them from the crowd. I wanted to watch what they were doing, you know, well, Kevin with his foot pedal and playing the guitar.
Because,
mm-hmm. Of course, Crown Lands is like, you know, they're two dudes playing doing the jobs of four people. So it's just fun for a musician to get to watch them do that. Very intriguing.
Well, yeah, because that's where you pick up so much when you're on the road and you see these headliners, and just being able to, you know, pick their brains at the same time as watch their live performances. It's, yeah, great learning experience.
Yeah, be humbled, be inspired, you know, see everything they're doing, all that kind of good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then a quick story, you know, like we went and we got into our bed at the end of the night in the trailer, and our youngest bandmate there, Joe, he just turned 25 last weekend. And yeah,
oh, please tell me baby. There's a practical joke here. You remember I told you about that last time? Oh, no.
I wish it was practical. I wish this was a practical joke. This is just a guitarist being awesome. So me and Alex, the bass player, we're in like a 4.5 foot trailer bed. And it's like, there's already like not very much space, you know. And our feet are already hanging off the edge and like, whatever, we're there, and like my eyes are just closing. I've been lying down for maybe an hour, and I'm just settling down to sleep. And all of a sudden, in creeps Joe, and he's feeling around in the dark, and then he gets into the bed, and all of a sudden he's using my foot as a pillow, and he's ratcheting the blankets off of me and Alex. And I'm like, this can't be real. And then he falls asleep instantly. And I'm like, Oh well, this is the dream. Three of us in the bed here. Like, oh my God, it did not smell good in the morning. It was not pretty. It was like, there's enough bed for all of us, you know. But I guess Joe was just not in the right state of mind to set up in the dark, set up the table bed, and jumped in with us. And well, yeah, it was like, you know, rub a dub dub, three men in the tub, but it was three guys in a little trailer bed instead.
Too funny. What did he say the next day?
Oh, I was just like, Joe, do you even know like what you did? Like, you took the blankets and you like slept on my foot. Like, do you have any recollection? He's like, oh yeah, sorry about that.
Like, he doesn't need a soft pillow at all, does he?
No, he didn't need anything. I just kind of laid there and just relaxed in an awkward position for the rest of the night.
Did you sleep, though? That's the question.
Oh, God, no. It was the last night we were going home, so I didn't care. But if I had to play the next day, I probably would have said something.
Yeah, because you got to rest your voice, boy, because the way that you shred that every single time you guys are out there performing, because your live performances, everybody absolutely loves, because it's so full of energy. And if anybody hasn't seen their live shows, boy, you guys got to get out to one of them. You guys are killer when it comes to doing your live performance.
Yeah, we can't wait. Cause we're going to do a show with the Lazies in August here.
Oh, so that's going to be awesome.
Absolute. Yeah. It's going to be a crazy show. Like I've already seen what the Lazies are like, and they've been off for 2.5 years, so they're going to be ready to go. And like ready.
That's what I was going to ask you, because like when you guys, you know, I know you guys have been playing a little bit, but it hasn't been the same, as you said, you know, none of the bands have been playing like they used to, but it's either you're rusty or you're just biting at the bit to get out there. So I can imagine what they're like, because I know their shows. What were you guys like?
Well, we've been able to keep it up, and we were able to use some community resources to do some projects to keep us going.
Mm-hmm.
And we were also able to, like, you know, like some live video, live streaming stuff. And we were also able to keep releasing a song or two every year. And mm-hmm. so, like, we've been able to release music every year since 2019. So we're very lucky that way. And not full albums, but even just doing releasing two songs a year right now has been beneficial in keeping the building process going.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
well, it's a single.
Rust, I mean, I don't like Rust.
Well, it's a single generation right now, you know, just by that. Unfortunately, it's not the same as when I used to get the albums, and we talk about this all the time with other artists. What do you guys find, you know, for you guys? Is it hard to even think about doing an album? Because I know you guys are working on that now. Like, do you guys have to really strategize to whether or not you're going to do how many singles before you do the album release, right?
It all has to be planned for sure. And I think for us, we want to have a song or two or three breakthrough to get, you know, to let people know we want to do albums.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I've been advised by some bigger bands, like, do your thing. You know, if you want to be a prog rock band, a radio, like, and we aren't, but for example, if you wanted to be a prog rock band, you know, like, no radio station is going to say, like, yeah, you should do that. Like, mm-hmm. they're all going to say, you know, maybe 4 or 5 6-minute songs aren't a great idea right now.
Yeah. Yeah, and, it's hard to play.
Right. And at the same time, if you're a young Rush, you know, or a band like that, like, of course you should be who you are, and
mm-hmm.
you'll find a way. You know what I mean? So you have to be true to yourself. And if the album is like where we feel like we want to head, there's still going to be singles that come off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the planning has to be how many singles and what can we afford, because we're an independent band. So we're waiting to hear back from grants. We're waiting to hear back from investors and all that type of thing. And then we cobble together everything we've got and we go for it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of fun. I'm not going to lie. That whole part of it is a real rush. And every release, we're trying to outdo the last one. We're trying to get better at it, make more connections, work with more, you know, fascinating people.
It's a lot when you're independent, because you have to know your branding. You got to know everything that you want to present, and it's just not an easy thing to write grants. A lot of people have a hard time, you know, doing that. A lot of the artists do. You got to get really good at that and know the resources that are out there. And you went to Canadian Music Week, right?
Yeah, we just played Canadian Music Week this year at the Wheat Sheaf Tavern. It was
mm-hmm.
Toronto's oldest bar, oldest venue. I'm not sure which one they mark. Anyways, it was awesome there. Seeing some other acts and talking to some other artists.
Lots to learn there in the industry.
Preparing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Really kicking up dust and going as hard as they can. So it's fantastic to meet with those artists.
Mm-hmm.
And like you were saying about the grant writing and all that, like, it's you know, you need to build a team. And some bands are great. They've got people in their band that can do, like, 80-90% of stuff, and we've got those people in our band. Like, we've got our bass player Alex, who I've said before, you know, he's our John Deacon, he's our John Paul Jones. He doesn't mess around. He does so much work for the band, it's like nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have our drummer Adam, who does cool stuff, like builds my mic stand or builds a light box or builds a merch setup. Like, he's very you know, jack of all trades and so artistically useful for us.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you have to have those people in your team to begin with, but then you need to start realizing all the other people that can help you and how that can work, how that could, you know, not everyone's of course going to be on your team, but you need to build it nonetheless and find the people that are going to really add to it.
The ones that really believe in you. And it's hard because you got to be able to work with the people that you trust. And every single artist will tell you that you've got to really find that solid base. Ones that are there with you from the beginning right through to the end. Ones that believe in everything and understand what the band's trying to put out there. Because that creative side and those full-time people, that you're going to be, you know, looking for. Eventually, those are going to be on board. And man, that'll give you guys so much relief just to do what you guys do best, and that's to write and, you know, produce the music.
It's so true. Like, there's the music, there's the writing the music, there's the recording the music. That's all, like, one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be very good at that. But then there's the whole other part, which is promoting and connecting and, you know, reselling, all these different things that you need to do, putting shows together, et cetera, et cetera. Like, touring is so difficult to set up today, especially with gas prices at $2
or whatever. And pandemic really pushed up the pricing also, like for equipment and, you know, for everything for touring now. It's just really crazy for pricing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's a few bands we really look up to in that regard. You know, like, I don't know them personally, but I look up to bands like from around here, like Texas King or
Wine Lips. King. Yeah.
Like Wine Lips and Texas King, these two bands are like, they're completely different in styles, but they're able to tour across this country and even parts of the States. And it's like so inspiring to see bands like that from Canada that are just like, right now they're kicking ass, and I'm like watching and I'm going like, how do I do that? Like, we're gonna figure this out somehow, you know what I mean? Like,
always learning.
Cool to see that.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
always learning, always evolving, and they do it very, very well. And that's what I mean, don't be afraid to ask. That's the one thing that you'll hear so many of the other veterans that are, you know, in this business will turn around and tell you, don't be afraid to ask the questions. And that's the best advice you can give, right?
Yes, definitely. I will take that.
Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid. Just ask whoever. And they will, you know, everybody is so good here in Canada. That's the one thing I love about this industry and the Canadian music is everybody's willing to help each other. And they're cheering for each other. Yeah. Like, they're in each other's corners. It's not so much as a competition, but it's more about pushing each other, you know, to be better, right? To, you know, to just keep excelling in this industry and put out the best that you can put out.
Yeah, we got to play a couple shows with Goodnight Sunrise last weekend. And had a great time with Vanessa because she's such an outgoing personality with exactly that type of attitude you're talking about, like that outgoing, warm, friendly, like, let's do this type of thing. Like, we're both going to kick ass tonight. Always great to find bands like that where, you know, the whole night's going to be amazing beginning to end.
Mm-hmm.
So great.
Makes a huge, huge difference. Man, I'm telling you, there's so much I've missed too along the way. We were talking about you guys having to put on all of the different hats and the music and everything that you guys got to do, but you've changed a lot since I had you on the show last too. As I said, these last couple songs, man, you're really, really feeling where you guys want to go. Are you noticing that as well?
I think so. I think we're reaching a new comfort level with each other and with who we are as people. And I'm just getting a little bit, because every artist wants a little bit of acknowledgement just that they're doing their thing, I guess, that they're an artist. And I think just we got a slight taste of that people said, yeah, you're doing a good job, keep going. And so when you get that and you start to get into that comfort zone, like for No Shelter, for example, like I woke up one morning and I was walking into the kitchen to make coffee, and I started singing part of the song, you know, with the melody and the words and everything.
Wow.
And not the No Shelter part, but like the pre-chorus and the lead up to it and part of the verses, you know, like, and you know, standing in the pouring rain and all that stuff. And I sang it into the phone and sent it off to the guys, and they messaged me back and they're like, that's really good. They're like, that's really cool, man. I was like, you think so? They're like, yeah. And so take that to jam. And then we played it together and the chorus part came up and all of a sudden, boom, out comes the No Shelter. And so it was like, that song just connected. It just went click, 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 like pieces coming together. And it was, you know, no problem. And then we're going to release another song that I'm very excited for, October 8th. And it's called Too Little Too Late. And we're excited. It's a really fun song. It's different than No Shelter, but we also think high energy. And again, we had a lot of fun writing it together, where things just click. I tell the guys, like, when they write riffs, because the way we write is, I beg Joe, or I beg the guys. I'm like, come on, give me a good riff. Like, I don't even know how to describe what it is, but give me a good riff. And if you give me a good riff, I swear to God, I'm gonna give you some great vocal, you know? And so that's normally how it happens. Like, Down with the Devil, to go back, way back to 2018, when the guys played that for me, when Miguel, our rhythm guitarist, played me that, I was like, oh yeah, that's it. Doesn't matter. I was like, doesn't matter anything else. Yeah, I was like, that riff, as soon as I heard that, I'm like, that's it. That's going to be a great song. I'm super happy. We're going to make it happen. And that's sort of how we work, is we find a good riff. And then, you know, if I go too cheesy or I go too far one way, then the guy's got to pull me back and say, you know, your lyrics are a little bit they're too silly here, Warren, or whatever, you know. And I have to listen to that, and I do. That's what the teamwork is for. It's the same as me saying to them, oh, I don't like this part. I don't like this part in the song. Are you willing to change it? And they're there to tell me, oh, I'm not sure these are the right words for this or whatever. And we have to be open to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And when we go into the studio and we record, then we add a whole new element. Like, we bring in the producer at that point, and he's going to really tell us if he thinks something is out of place, or, you know, and the more we go here, the more the songs are just, they're more and more us, you know what, 100%.
That's what I feel. Yeah.
It is pushing that way more and more and more, where we're getting our way with what we want. And that's because we're listening to the foundational advice, and we're being able to build on top of it now.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still listening all the time, and of course, all of our advice given to us. But it for sure, No Shelter was just like click, click, and go, and it was no problem, you know.
I want to come back into that one. Let's start off with The Imposter, because we're going to play that one first.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that one.
Absolutely. So Imposter was recorded on the same weekend as Crazy. And so they were both recorded in like a 4 or 5 day span together. So we're hopping back and forth between the two songs. And we really have no idea. When we're doing this process, we really get into this thing where we have no idea which of the two songs is better or worse. And we're sort of going, do you think this song's better? Or do you think this song's better? And for a time, we thought, like, we loved Imposter. And we still do. But of course, Crazy won that race.
Mm-hmm.
And outshone it, but it's always going to have a special place for us. It was recorded
in the
same
song
too.
I really loved it.
Yeah, I liked that riff that Joe had at the start. Again, you know, when he came up with that first riff, I was like, yeah, I really like that. I'm digging that vibe 100%. We had a lot of fun, but the song's about a fake or a fraud or a pretender coming into your life and, you know, messing things up a little bit. Or maybe you're the fraud, maybe you're the pretender, and you're the one lying to yourself. And
mm-hmm.
So the song kind of explores those two angles, and also the fact that we always feel like we're a fraud trying to do this rock and roll game. Like, you always question yourself and the validity of what you're doing. And so I think that also played into it a little bit in the writing. But we had a great time doing it, and definitely very proud of it. Did a live off the floor video that we're also very proud of, where we just
love it,
kick butt.
Absolutely love it. I think it's just because of the way that you guys balance the drums, the bass, you know, you give such great weight, and it's just, it brings back, like as I said, a lot of the bands that I absolutely loved my whole life. Like, there's just so much in
definitely.
There.
Definitely.
Yeah. And
definitely.
Love it. Just what you guys add to the elements of your production. So it's really cool. We're going to play this one right now, the killer track, and that is Imposter by Canadian rock band Taming Sorry, here on Music's Journey.
We'll be right back.
was Imposter by Canadian rock band Taming Sorry off their Crime of Passion LP. It just makes me feel alive listening to this band. This band is the real deal coming out of Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, with the insane vocals of my very special guest, frontman Warren Meredith. You can download Imposter on all your streaming platforms. Show it some love by adding it to your playlist, and you also can request it at your local rock station.
Thank you.
Talk about Crime of Passion.
Okay, so it's like we decided that we wanted a vinyl, and we started talking about how it would actually be like a combination of some older songs from Thirsty from the Drought from the first album and some stuff from the new stuff like Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And we went with a company in Prince Edward Island, and they were able to do us up a very limited batch. So anyone who does get the vinyl, it's like they're getting like one of 200 copies.
Nice.
So they're very, yeah, they're very limited, and of course we love to sign them, and I like, of course we've listened to them and got test copies, all that good stuff, and so that's kind of what Crime of Passion was all about, and of course that's a lyric from Imposter.
Mm-hmm.
So just a shout out to that kind of making its way onto the album, and we'd love to make more in the future. It was really cool, of course, again, like go back to working with Crownlands, to seeing them selling like four albums all side by side and how cool that is.
I'm so glad you guys are doing it. It's going to be coming back. I know it. I think that people just want to feel it in their hands again, because everything is just done, you know, live stream, which is great. It's great for people being able to hear new music, something that they might not have been exposed to before. There's the pros and cons, but I still love being able to hold an album in my hand. Nothing like
it. I think it's key. Yeah, it's key to the success of the album.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were saying, it's a singles world today. Well, that's because all singles are available at any given time, and there's no need, you know, playlists are all mix and match now for the most part. So, you know, it's the old style. The old world was all about the vinyl album.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, I'd love to keep working that way and get some really cool singles off that style. You know?
Well, I think, too, like when I got an album, I always was so excited to hear every single song and know them in order, right? And I miss that, because so many fans only hear the singles that are put out there, and it depends on radio, you know, whether or not they carry that one or not. You guys may never even hear half the great music that's sitting on an album, and that's why I'm hoping, really hoping, that fans start, you know, wanting to get back to that and being able to listen to it from front to back.
It would be great. It would be awesome, for sure. You know, the single thing is fun, but it's also hard, you know. I mean, full concept albums are a lot of fun to come up with.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I always like the idea that you have artwork inside the vinyl that you can take out and stuff like that. That's what I'd like to work towards too, you know.
Well, that's cool. The visionary end of it, right?
Yeah, like I think that people bought it and it was something really special and they hold on to it, and, you know, there might be a really nice insert inside which has something they can get autographed, whatever it might be. I think all that little bonus stuff is absolutely important and something bands have to get back to, deepening that connection with their fans and making them know that, you know, it's special. It's special for us. It's special for them.
Is there an album that you sat, looked at when you were younger, and just something that really triggered you and the reasons why you love it so much yourself? Is there an album that sticks out for you?
I think, like, honestly, when I found my mom's record player when I was a kid, if I'm being 100% honest, like the first records that I would have put on there would have been it would have been Michael Jackson, but it would have been like a single, like where it was like ABC on one side and like another Jackson 5 on the other.
Yeah.
And
okay.
And then the other thing was like Peter Frampton Comes Alive.
Nice.
And like these were like the first albums I put on a record player because they were just there.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember loving it. I remember even loving it then, like the exploration of it.
I think that's what's exciting, is like pulling it out of the sleeve. And I don't know, it's just something completely different.
Same
and reading
thing.
Up on each song. It's all there.
I remember getting my Blink-182 cassette tape. And, you know, and again, I like pulling the lyrics out of it, like all
exactly.
that type of stuff. I don't think I got CDs. I wasn't that cool until like System of a Down. I would have got that on CD and stuff like that, or Coheed and Cambria, but I was older then, you know. As a kid, for sure, I would have listened to all the old albums. My mom was an Elvis Presley fan, a Jeff Healey fan, all that stuff.
Jeff
country
Healey.
Music.
What great memories, yeah.
Like, I would have been growing up in the bars, going to, like, karaoke bars with my mom, and she would have been singing, like, Patsy Cline, stuff like that.
Does she sing
and,
as well?
Yeah. And so that's, I think that's why maybe I sing. Like, when I have memories, like I said, maybe being, like, 10 or 11, but going out to these karaoke bars or competitions for singing and watching mom do it. And
nice.
I didn't know I could sing then. I don't think I sang till later, till I was, like, 21 or 22. And I got on stage with, like, a rock karaoke band here at Algonquin College, and I sang Journey, Don't Stop Believing.
Oh, cool.
And so the guy turns to me, and he says, look, man, this is a really hard song. The guy, he's in the band. He's, look, man, this is a really hard song. He's like, so don't worry, we're going to keep going. He's like, you just keep going. So I sang the song, and I made it through to the end, and there was no stops or anything like that. And he turned to me and goes, like, how the heck did you do that, man? I'm like, I don't know. I just had fun. I don't know. He's like, well, he's like, let me tell you something. He's like, this band here, we're moist. We're moist minus David Usher. We're just here tonight making some extra money. And he's like, so you might want to try singing. So that was the first time I thought about it.
Cool.
You know?
What a great story.
Like you said, like, yeah, the Canadian music world is, like, so small, and I've never run into them again, nothing like that, and that's, like, many moons ago now, but that's the type of things that can happen, you know, if people are cool, you know?
There's so many places, like, so many genres that I can hear your voice, because, you know, like I said, you're starting to showcase a little bit more of what you're capable of doing, and it's not just all the hard-hitting high stuff, and, yeah, you've got, such an incredible gift there. Incredible.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
You're going to
you're
going to explore that and explore that and explore that, because 5 years from now, you know, you never know where music's going to take us at this point, because it's evolving so much. But yeah, those influences are going to mean something to you.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Definitely carry you through to some new stuff. Okay. So we got to talk about Crazy, the writing for Crazy.
Okay. Yeah, so that was the same time as Imposter. And I think Crazy is funny because when we got into the studio, I was like, you know what? We've got everything here, Ross, our producer. I'm like, we've got everything here, I think, but I don't have a chorus. You know, all I've got for the chorus is like, you, bop, bop, make me, bop, bop, crazy. You know, like, all I've got. And he's like, that's perfect. And I was like, what? And he's like, that's probably going to do it. I'm like, I don't think so, man. Like, I don't think so, you know? And so it's just one of those things where I don't know. Sometimes I need that extra voice in the band or Ross to tell me, like, yeah, that's the right direction for sure. Because I had no idea. I had no idea that was the right direction. And, yeah, you know, and also, like, the little part in the second part where I go, like, ooh, and, you know, it's, like, there's a little high accentuation on the notes.
Right.
That's, like, something we added in very last second, like, a week before we released the song. I was, like, it's just, the song is just missing a pickup here. It's just, you know, and so those little types of details, I think we're getting better at noticing. And acknowledging, like, oh yeah, the song is just missing just a little touch of this and a little touch of that, and it's gonna be extra better, you know. And so I think that's the fun part with the artistry, where we're starting to grow and notice more and see more as it's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than looking back at it like 2 years later and saying, oh dang, I wish I had done this or done that, which of course I've done, and we all do that, of course. But
well, you're going to be you're going to be looking back 5 years from now. You're going to be looking, going, oh, you know, when you're listening to the records and seeing how much growth you guys have had in a 5 year period. I've seen the growth just since you guys have started, like, huge amounts of growth. And yeah, your sound is just coming into its own. You guys have got something really special, and I think you all know that now. I hope you do.
I think we know that we're tuning into, it's like you said, there's like a lost sound. There's like a there's a sound that that the industry has worked very hard to get away from for a number of years, you know, for a long time. And that's because it dominated. But I think our band wants to bring back elements of that and have it as an option.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I like all music, you know?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you've got so much in your voice that you're capable of doing, and you can deliver anything. And the different types of genres that you love, that you grew up with, the influences that created who you are as an artist, the person that you are in depth. And I see that in you, in your writing as well. You're not afraid to be vulnerable. You're not afraid to pull out all those deep thoughts. And that's great, because that's going to benefit you down the line. 100%. And I really, really love just the choices you're making with your vocals. I think that's what I'm noticing is the difference, because the way you would have gone at a song back in 2017, 18, in comparison to what you're doing now.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
For sure. There's ongoing growth all the time. And, you know, like, of course, I'm always going to, you know, look up to the people that I really, like, I look up to John Fogerty and Joe Cocker probably as probably my godfathers. As to, like, okay, how do I handle this? Or you know, Tim Stapleton, if I want to get into how to improve myself, how to take that to the next level. And it's, you know, because there's different levels of that, and there's not many belters, period. There's not many left today.
No.
That's for darn sure. But there wasn't even many belters in the old days. It was, you know, Joe Cocker and Janis made it, like, super popular, that style. But it's not easy to pull off. And I think if you get into, like, you know, Bad Company or Free vocals, you know, Paul Rogers, it's like he kind of figured out how to pull it back just enough so that he could have that growl and have it last and have it go longer and make more songs. And so that's where I'm at. Like, I don't want to burn out like a Janis, or, you know, God bless her, like, I'll never be a Janis, but I don't want to burn out that way. You know what I mean? And I also don't want to be pigeonholed the way I feel that Joe Cocker was.
That's
so
true.
You know, so vocally, you know, I'm just talking honestly here with you, and it's all baloney, but, you know, those are my influences that I really look up to, those three artists, and how they would go about handling things. And, of course, the Black Crowes, of course. There's other incredible artists, you know.
That's why I'm saying, I think you're starting to understand, you know, where you want to go now that you guys got your feet wet and you guys are doing so well right now. And, you know, the radio stations absolutely love what you're putting out. And at least I know from our end of it, boy, you know, every single time I know you guys are putting something out, I'm right there.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. And you've just got something really special. I'm just going to be so thrilled just to see where you guys are in 5 years. Just to see what you're gravitating towards sound wise, and, you know, just the influences and what you guys are going to incorporate, because you guys are really brilliant. You are really smart, and you're really working, you know, really hard at all this. And, man, you guys, it's paying off. These two singles are incredible. And we're going to play this one right now. We're going to play the killer track, Crazy, by Canadian rock band Taming Sorry, here on Music's Journey.
Spin!
was Crazy, the hit single right now for Taming Sorry that is off Crime of Passion LP. Don't forget to check it out. It's the vinyl. There's only 200 of that, and it's just really cool to be able to hold that in your hands, and the band signs it for you too. Don't forget you can download Crazy on all your streaming platforms. You can show it some love by adding it to your playlist, and you also can request it at your local rock station.
Oh, thank you. And like, I think that the dynamics are exploring into the dynamics of that song is really what helped us grow there. And it's what reminds us when we write further, like we really need to keep dynamics at the front of mind. And cause it adds so much to a song, stops and starts, lifts and lowers and all these good little things. I think that's what made Crazy special for us.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Very much so. I know that with No Shelter, we were talking about it earlier, but I just see, you know, when you see a band as rounded as you guys are with Alex and every single person, Joe, all everybody in the band are so good at what they do. And I think you guys are just at the tip of the iceberg of what you guys are capable of. You got so much knowledge. There's so much talent. And this is going to be a band that can stick around for a very long time. You guys play your cards right.
That's definitely the plan. We all have a deep connection to one another. We all appreciate each other. And yeah, there's a lot of work that goes in that we all have to appreciate. And, you know, we always have to remember to say, hey, great job, man, and never take each other for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've got to remember being the singer that I have to go lift gear and pick it up all the time. And I can't just disappear and go talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we learn these things. We figure it out. And we always work as a team.
Insane.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And especially like the bands around today, like we all survived the COVID thing together. We've now all survived like political strife in our country as well.
Mm-hmm.
And to be a band of five different people with five different opinions, to have us all still together, still united, still kicking butt is really awesome and what it's all about, because mm-hmm. there's so many bands that aren't here right now because
Of
the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely. So it's just been really a nuts time, and great that we're able to support each other through everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm so glad you guys did, because so many of the bands dropped out. You guys released one, we were just talking about No Shelter. This one is really cool because you're giving a really great message in this song as well. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So No Shelter has, well, the world has just been going through insanity, in my opinion, and in a lot of people's opinions. We've witnessed Russia invade a nation. We've witnessed everything that's gone on in the Ukraine. We've witnessed them calling for help. We've seen refugees around the world calling for shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And we've even seen a division in Americans, politics. We've seen a division in Canadians. We've seen divisions around the world where it's becoming a thing where like families are cool fighting with each other, and you know, friends are cool fighting with each other over this stuff. And
mm-hmm.
when we were in Toronto recording this, the world was turned upside down. It
mm-hmm.
really was. And when we wrote this song, I think the world was turned upside down, and it just it's a reflection. This song is 100% a reflection of what we felt, what I felt, and the band felt, like what was going on in this world. And
mm-hmm.
that's people crying out for help. People are either falling behind, they're either in debt, there's so many different things. And people are saying like, yo, I thought you were on my side. I thought we were in this together. And the sentiment that things will never be the same kept coming up over and over again. People kept saying throughout COVID and throughout all of this with Russia, like, and everything, saying things are never going to go back to the way they were before. It's so crazy. And what's going on with gas prices, and what's going on with this, and how bad is the healthcare system? All these different questions that are being thrown around, and it just seems like there's no shelter. Like, no one can hide anymore, and there's no safety. So
that
yeah.
vulnerability and being exposed to what, you know, the hardships are in this world, and it just gets harder and harder. And like you said, flying under that radar, and just, you know, the youth just were not prepared. None of us were prepared. None of us thought we'd ever see anything like this in our generation. And
nope.
It's just, it's been an eye opener. you know, to be able to turn around and see everything that's going on in the world and just strip it back to me. It's just like strip it back and remember just to have that compassion and love for one another. And just, you know, life is so short. And I think when people are getting sick and when people have been sick, you know, whether or not it's through cancer or whether or not it's through COVID or whether or not it's heart attacks or, you know, accidents, anything that's taken place in families, it's just, that's what real life is. In those moments when we can pull together and care about one another and just band as a family, love and support, we all need it. And when people ask for help, we got to take that time. Not living in our bubble and being in our comfort zones, we got to step outside of that and being able to say, you know what, no matter how hard this might be on your finances or anything else, reach out. It comes back tenfold, you know, to be able to give to others. And I don't know, that's just the way I've seen life my whole life.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. And with the song, we wanted it, or, you know, when I was doing the lyrics with it, we wanted it to be so every human, it can feel this. Every human can go through this. It doesn't matter, you know, whose side or what part of the world you're in, you can feel abandoned. You can feel ignored. You can feel like the world's not offering you anywhere to hide or seek refuge, you know. And I think that's, again, something I'm trying hard to work on with lyrics, is to make it so that everybody can always relate. It's never about one side. It's about everybody.
Mm-hmm. And this could, you know, this can also go towards mental illness. It could be so many different things that, you know, doesn't matter what age group, you know, anybody can relate their situation, lost jobs, all of it, to this song. And that's why I loved it so much. You just, you know, definitely, it's just an incredible, incredible song. So congratulations on this one. We're going to play this one right now. Here is the blistering new single, No Shelter, by Canadian rock band Taming Sorry, here on Music's Journey.
Baby, you answer. I need you. I need no shelter, no answer. We're living out disaster. I'm calling, you answer. I need you in my
one get your blood pumping and your brain working. This is the brand new single No Shelter by rock band Taming Sorry, the track that speaks about vulnerability, feeling exposed in the world. When we said it's just being able to form those strong relationships, making sure that you're feeling connected. And sometimes it's not easy, but we got to reach out to one another. Such a great song. Don't forget you can download No Shelter on all your streaming platforms. Let's give this one some great love and push this one to top 40 on the rock charts right now by adding it to all your playlists and request it at your local rock station. Such a creative, creative song. Absolutely love it. Well done.
Oh, thank you. It was a lot of fun to do it. It was a lot of fun. And it's a lot more fun to watch people enjoy it.
I love the creative side of this to the video as well.
So we shot that at in Napanee at a place called Disco Ball Events. And a great guy there, Jay, helped us set it up. And that was a lot of fun. They brought out all their regulars. We brought out our people. A lot of the people who were in the music video for Crazy came back out to be in this video as well. Totally. And they're the best. They're the best of people. Like,
who came up with the concept? For this one?
So Alex, I think, came up with this one. For the we ping pong ideas back all the time and say, oh, is this the time we're going to do this one, or is this the time we're gonna, you know? And so we wanted to do something roller skating, and it just so happened that all of a sudden, like, we decided on it, and then we saw advertisements for Stranger Things. And we were like, oh my God, look at that. Stranger Things has a darn roller skating video. And then I was like, wow, everyone's going to think that we did it because of them. And then Alex was like, so what? I was like, yeah, I guess you're right. I guess it doesn't really matter. And yeah, it was like, you know, it's just a cool concept. And it was cool because, like, even she's getting bullied, but, like, we didn't plan it that way at all, that, like, it would have some parallel storylines. Like, it just happened that it happened that way, which is so cool. And also, like, we're always looking, like, I tell bands, like, they're like, well, how do you do your music videos? And I'm like, well, you need a really sweet location, like, like, if you want the story to write itself and you don't have to worry about a whole bunch of stuff,
then you need a sweet location and sweet costumes
to go with it, but start with a sweet location. And when we found out that, yeah, there's a roller skating rink, you know, 2 hours away, and yeah, they're totally down to do this, then it's like, okay, green lights all the way, here we go, we're gonna have a sweet roller skating video. And that's mainly the real thing, you know. Like, sometimes we're talking about, oh, we're gonna do a pirate video one day, and so the conversation is always, you know, well, where are we gonna find this pirate ship? And, like, I know as soon as we find the pirate ship with the captain, it's going to be, okay, here we go. It's time for this music video. And away we get. With a cool location, you just go for it. We also thought with this music video that it would be just nice to juxtapose, because it's so, the song is so heavy, that if we give it some levity, and also, you know, we always do in our music videos, that we like to have fun with it. And we don't take ourselves too seriously in that regard. We're not trying to be, you know, some kind of symbol like the old rock world may have wanted it to be. We're if anything, we want to be like a symbol of fun. Mm-hmm. So I think it was great that we got to do that and made friends with a lot of people. And I hadn't roller skated maybe since I was a little kid.
See, that would have been funny to watch for everybody.
Cool. Super exhausting. There was a bunch of us there that had never roller skated before. And, like, the pros were coming around us, like, showing off. And being like, oh, just do this and just do this. And we're like, that's hard. Like, why is this not easy? It's supposed to be easy, I thought. But no, there's nothing easy about it. And
then you
got to
sing at the same time. Yeah.
And they, like, dumped me upside down into this garbage can and so we had to shoot it, like, 15 times.
Oh, man.
And so I told them originally when I showed up, I'm like, look, I'm down to do, like, a whooshy or whatever you call it in the toilet. Like, you can flush my head in the toilet and, like, we'll do that scene. It's like, we're not doing that. That's disgusting. But we will put you in the garbage can. And I was like, okay, all right. That's a compromise. But then as they put me in, like, maybe on the 12th time, on, like, the 12th take, I felt, like, my rib crack. And, like, honest to goodness, like, I cracked my rib. And I was, like, for, like, the next, like, 4 weeks, I was like, dang it. Why do you have to do all your own stunts? But You know, like, it's so hilarious.
Poor Warren. Oh, my God.
Yeah, the guys are like, well, we appreciate it. We appreciate your sacrifice. I'm like, well, you better.
Appreciate your spirit, but now I got to try to sing with that.
Yeah, now I got to sing with this cracked rib. Oh, it was all right.
Oh,
it was
man.
Just the Horseshoe Tavern. It wasn't like, it worked out. It worked out, thankfully.
It's a great video. I absolutely loved watching that one. I went, okay, where did they come up with that concept? But then I know you guys. So then I just don't even ask questions anymore. I really just enjoy it. So you guys are so creative. Really cool. You got to tell us about the brand new beer that you have for No Shelter and working with Cartwright Spring Breweries. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Alex is a home brewer. Our bass player is like a home brewer, and he makes like all of his own beers, and he brings them to us, and believe me, they've gotten way better over the last 5-6 years.
He's going, thank goodness.
He's made huge
yes.
improvements. And so he's always wanted to do like a beer and with the band. And so I told him, like, you find a brewery, like you find somebody who's cool and let's do it. And so he did. He found a Cartwright Spring Brewery, Pakenham. And I guess he ended up just going out there for like a tasting one day or something and ended up talking to the people there and just worked out. They were like, yeah, we love the music. And we brought them out to the J.J. Wild show at the Bronson Center.
Oh, cool.
And they had a great time. And, you know, they saw like how passionate we are about this, and we know how passionate they are about what they're doing. And so just a great partnership. You know, we get to run a little special promo for No Shelter, and people get to enjoy a beer and back to the song at the same time, and they're really supporting local. Like,
that's
this
nice.
Is from the Ottawa area, and they're always supporting Canadian. That's for darn sure.
Very cool.
You
next
know?
Time, so, next time you're coming on the show when you got the new release in October, we're going to do a Zoom, and we're all going to have that beer in our hand, right?
Yeah, I got to bring you some. I'm going to FedEx you a pack.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Cold. All around it.
Nice.
We'll find a way for sure. We'll get it to you.
Look forward to trying this one. That is really cool. And that's Cartwright Springs Brewery. So that's really cool. Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
And so have you guys got anybody, like you got a lot of people all throughout Canada that can get it, or is it just Ontario?
It's pretty much just in the Ottawa area for delivery, because we're going to deliver it pretty much. But we are getting requests already because we play New Brunswick and stuff like that and parts of Quebec. So we are already getting requests for it.
I was going to say, you guys would be getting the requests for sure out there. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. We're improving on it. Like a year ago, we weren't very good at like sending merch overseas or anything like that. But now we're much better at that, and people can order things and stuff like that. We've improved. We're always improving.
As I said, it's all those hats that you gotta wear, right?
Yeah, before you know they'll be like Taming Sorry Amazon, like, you know. It'll just take a few more years and we'll be handling it all over the world.
There you go. You just never know. You just never know. Okay, so you were talking earlier, you mentioned about the new release for Too Little Too Late, and that's coming out in October?
Yeah.
What? Tell us a little bit, sneak peek about the song.
Okay, yeah, sure. So the song's like about, you know, it's very cliche in the meaning, you know, too little too late. Everybody says it, and the hook is, you know, it's kind of what it is, but it's a lot of fun. And there's some back vocals that are kind of going back to, like, the old Taming Sorry style. Mm. And some very sing-alongable.
Can you give us a few notes? I'm going to put you on the spot.
Too little, too late to make it work again. Too little, too late to take the blame. Too little, too late to get away with it. Too little, too late. To break
nice.
My heart again. You know, something like that.
Nice. I'm looking forward to this one. Again, that showcases that really cool side of your voice.
Yeah, we're going to have fun with that one and see if people sing along. That's the plan. And, you know, I guess about the broken heart or wanting something, but it's too late. You know, you've missed the bill. You missed the boat on that one. I guess that's the song.
Are you guys going to maybe put a contest out there before you guys release the song? well, I guess before or after you release the song, and getting people from TikTok to add their own stories to the lyrics. That would be really cool to see.
Yeah, totally. We're like trying to plan the music video for it now, and we're thinking like maybe we're gonna do like an Amazing Race kind of thing. We're gonna be all, yeah. Well, we're gonna be like all over Ottawa, but like every time you're too late, or maybe like a Pokeroo type of thing. Every time.
So cool.
You're like, oh, there's Pokeroo, finally. But no. You know how it is. Like, oh. That's my childhood. That's what I grew up on. The type of wonderful children's television.
So you know? Cool. I'm telling you, just to be 5 minutes in your head, Warren. Just.
Oh, yeah. Or where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? Like, that type of thing was big in my childhood. The missing person, or catch up to that person before they disappear. So I think we might go with that type of theme, you know?
Very cool. That's a really cool idea. Yeah. Very cool. All right, so you guys are planning, well, you're writing right now, and new record in the works? New album?
Yeah, I think so. The guys were just meeting, Alex and Joe were meeting and having a writing meeting just, I think, last night, getting some initial ideas together to show us, and then we'll go from there, and yeah, I think it'll be no problem. We have, once we get going, then you just keep going. And we really want more music out, of course, all the time. And whether it ends up being two singles or an album, I don't know what's going to come out exactly, but I think it's going to be a full album. That's what I'm betting right now.
Nice.
Just based on like what everybody wants and based on the feeling, I think we'd love to do another full album.
Well, we would love for you guys to do a full album. Anything that you guys do, you know that we are right there supporting you, because you guys are fantastic. When we had you guys on the show last time, we had so much response from the UK.
Yeah.
And they absolutely love you. Absolutely love you guys. And they can't get enough of it. So when I was doing the pre for the show, and we were just doing little snippets, and they are so excited to hear this interview and any of the music that you guys got coming out. Now, there's some possible dates that you guys are going to be playing in the UK for 2023.
Yeah, the hope is to do like 7 to 10 dates in the UK. And I can't, like, I believe it. Like, I just got my passport in the mail, so I sent it off to our manager, and I sent it off to the guys, the picture, like, look it, I'm ready, let's go. And so I'm sure we're going to cross the T's and dot the I's, and, you know, whatever new music we have, if it's an album, that'd be fantastic. If it's singles, whatever, we're going to take that over to the UK and play some shows in another country over there.
Oh, that's going to be so cool. They're going to be so stoked to have you guys out there.
Yeah, we do have some great friends out there that, especially along the coast there, coastal regions, have some great local radio, and they've been supportive since the beginning. And yeah, there's really cool people over there that have been great to us since day one, and I know that they're very receptive to lots of rock bands and lots of rock music.
Oh, right? Yeah, so like it's like polar opposite to what we're going through here, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd Sweden too. I hear Sweden's a hotbed for like like pop music and even rock too, but pop especially. And the UK is like, and Germany is huge on rock music, so that's definitely in our plans and a huge dream. You know, that would definitely be living the dream.
Well, you guys are going to be living the dream, because I guarantee you, when I talk to you next, there's going to be some dates booked.
Well, thank you, Kim. You're the best. We appreciate you so much. I appreciate you so much.
Well, I appreciate each and every one of you. And thank you so much for just, you know, speaking to my heart and playing the kind of music that you guys play. And the last, you know, as I said, the singles that you guys are putting out right now are killer tracks. And I just can't wait to see what you guys are going to be coming up with next.
Well, thank you very much. You will definitely hear from us as soon as we have it.
Absolutely. Well, okay. Say hi to the guys for me. And what shows do you got coming up?
So we're going to be August 11th with the Lazies in Ottawa, then August 11th at Horseshoe Tavern, August 12th, Horseshoe Tavern with the Commoners.
Oh, nice.
They're like, I think that's their big release. So that's our producer's band.
Oh, and very cool. Really, really, really like them. Yeah.
They're going to Europe like right now. Like soon, they're going, I think, in September. So that's going to be really cool. Mm-hmm. And then what else? We're doing London and Montreal in September.
Nice.
So London at their big theater, and which I'm looking forward to. And again, with the commoners there. And Montreal will be fun with Late Night Trouble.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Lots of exciting shows coming up. And we all know that you guys are going to be putting on one hell of a show. The Lazies, man, I wish I was going to be there for that.
That's going to be a lot of fun and crazy.
You're going to fit right in.
Yeah, I'm going to have to be careful because I got to perform the next night. So I got to wash myself and not let Leon take me down, you know.
So true. So yeah. True. Well, give my love to everybody. And you, as I said, just such a huge fan. And you guys just keep doing what you're doing. You're doing it right.
Okay, thanks, Kim.
Okay.
Appreciate it very much.
You take care and have a fantastic night, okay?
Okay, you too.
Okay, take care.
All right, bye.
Bye. A great big thank you to my very special guest, frontman Warren Meredith for the rock band Taming Sorry for coming on the show. I've got some great shows coming up. I'm going to be chatting with Katie Hurt, Kadu, The Prairie States, Jason Blaine, Nicole Ray, Jay Walker, Rock Band Weapons, Matt Rogers, Quentin Blair, Jason Benoit, Smoke and Ashes, Craig Moritz, Anthony Tulo, Abby Stewart, Bree Taylor, Australian country artist Haley Jensen, Australian trio The Buckleys, Cadence Grace, Gil Grant, Ellie Walker, Simone Fuller, Dustin Bird, Lemon Cash, and so many more. Don't forget you can catch all of my shows that you don't want to miss at musicsjourney.com. You also can check out all the new videos, new releases, and reviews at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning in to Music's Journey, and have yourselves a wonderful day. I will catch you here next time on Music's Journey.